I welcome you again, radio friends, to the program today. We're speaking on a costly delay, and we're going to take the text from Exodus 32, reading at verse 1, Exodus 32, verse 1. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us, for as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Let us pray. Our Father, we've come again to your word today, and we are praying that the entrance of your word will produce life, will produce healing, will produce health. Above all, will produce spiritual light. In Jesus' name, amen. From the victory over Amalek, which we saw last week, Israel moved to the terrible defeat at Sinai. God had called Moses up to the mountain where he was to receive instructions on how Israel will worship God acceptably. Exodus chapter 24, verse 18. Exodus 24, verse 18, we read, "So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights." This is the background or the context of Exodus 32, which says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.'" That's Exodus 32, verse 1. It was a 40-day delay that ended up costing the Israelites a fortune and would have cost them their future, but for the persevering intercessory prayer of Moses. Some people have lost a fortune because they felt that God had delayed in bringing them the blessing or blessings that they had waited for. Some young women have ended up with a hell on earth marriage because they could not wait for God to bring the right man at his own time. And some men have lost everything because they felt that God was delaying in bringing them the right business partners. God's timing is perfect, but creatures of time have difficulty sometimes dealing with a God who is not limited by time or to time. Speaking of God's relationship to time, with particular reference to his promises, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, 2 Peter 3, 8, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Before we proceed, I want you to take note that he says, "One day is as 1,000 years." That's a simile. He didn't say one day is 1,000 years, as 1,000 years. This scripture implies that the passage of time does not affect God's promises. A promise he made 1,000 years ago is as good as though he made it a day ago. And so the promise of the return of Jesus Christ, which has taken more than 1,000 years, is as good as though God made that promise yesterday. Time cannot eclipse God's promise. Time cannot erase God's promise. Radio friend, hold on to God's promise. He is always on time. So exercise patience. The request Israel presented to Aaron, which is, come, make us gods that shall go before us, is one of the outcomes of relating to God through things, persons, or personalities. When we relate to God through things, or through a person, or through persons, we are not far from idolatry. Israel chose to relate to God through a person, Moses. And when God offered them the privilege of relating to him personally as a kingdom of priests, they refused it. In Exodus 19:4-6, Exodus 19 verse 4, God said to Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, verse 5, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. And in Exodus chapter 20 verse 19, Exodus 20:19, we see Israel reject this offer. Exodus 20:19 says, then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. In other words, we prefer to relate to God through you, Moses, instead. Now that Israel has chosen to relate to God through a person, they slipped into idolatry when they did not see their intermediary for 40 days. I am sorry for those who, in our day, are deceived into believing that a human or material intermediary guarantees them access to God. I hear some say that a piece of cloth, a vest, so-called holy oil or holy water, which they placed on themselves or on their point of need, brought them a solution where other means failed. This is very unfortunate. These people feel biblically justified to replace the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with the God of so-so minister. What they imply is that the minister whose name they evoke has greater rights in God than they themselves. But not so, if they are children of God. When Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple was torn in two from top, that's Godward, to bottom, manward, indicating that we all now have access, equal access to God. You find that in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51. Is it any wonder then that Romans 5:1-2 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. God has given us access to him through Christ. As many as will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have equal access to God. No one has greater access than you if you have believed in Jesus Christ. So don't allow yourself to be deceived or to be taken advantage of. You can go straight to God through Christ. And I call upon you this moment, dear friend, to give your life to Christ, who has paved the way for you to have access to the Father. And whatever you will ask the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will give you. Let us pray. Faithful Father, your word is true, and there is power in your word. And I'm praying now that you minister your grace to as many as have heard, and as many of them as are giving their lives over to you through Christ. Dear Lord, I pray that you will receive them, and that you give them assurance of your salvation, and that you meet the needs in their lives, no matter what needs they are, for you have the power to do all things. And we'll give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.